County, the court has four matters on its oral submission docket. In the order of their presentation, they are as follows. Concord Oil Company and Prince Oil Royalty Production versus Queens Oil Exploration and Production Company and others from Socorro County. Provident American Insurance Company versus Denise Castaneda from El Paso County. Plant Independent School District versus Cash Investments from El Paso County. And Dr. Gay Van Horn versus Wallace Lee Chambers and others from Harris County. In each of these matters, the court has allotted 20 minutes for each side to present oral argument. Petitioners may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by advising the marshal of our court. We will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each argument. We will complete the arguments before we take a lunch break. These arguments are being recorded by the clerk of our court. If you wish to purchase a tape of an argument, you may make application with the clerk. The court is ready to hear oral argument from petitioners in Concord versus Prince Oil.
May it please the court, Mr. Frank Douglas may present argument to petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes to rebuttal.
Thank you. Actually, I'm the respondents, but it's our motion for a rehearing that's been granted. I assume this is the order in which the court
been set by some forces of nature.
All right. Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Frank Douglas, representing the and speaking for the respondents in this matter. We appreciate the opportunity to visit the court on our motion for rehearing. The sole issue in this case is what did a 1937 mineral deed convey? The respondents submit that the majority of the court erred in applying the harmonizing rule out of Luckel versus White, as opposed to following the precedent set forth in Pan American versus Texas Pacific Company. The court, in effect, has created a conflict or created an irreconcilable provision in the 1937 deed when there is not one. Luckel and Pan American are not inconsistent. They just apply to different types of deed. The Pan American deed, Pan American applies to a deed that has just a granting clause and a subject to or existing lease clause. Luckel applies to a situation where you have a granting clause, subject to or existing lease clause, and a future lease clause. The deed that we're going to be talking about, we refer to sometimes as the Concord deed. Mainly we refer to it as the Crosby-Southland deed. Crosby was the grantor and Southland was the grantee in that deed. There is no conflicting provision in that 1937 deed. There is no irreconcilable provision in that 1937 deed. We have some handouts before you there and some boards. I'm having my partner and smart lawyer who tried this lawsuit in the trial court, he would be pointing to the items on the board there to conserve my time in order not have to walk back and forth. The ownership after Crosby Southland deed really follows what we're talking about as far as these three provisions are concerned. Two of them are in this deed, one of them is not. Mr. Crosby had a 1/12 mineral interest, 896. He conveyed a mineral interest, 196, to Southland, and he retained 796. Now, that mineral interest is subject to an oil and gas lease. So really what he was conveying was the possibility of reverter.
Let's talk about a subject to clause. The
I'm sorry.
This deed was executed 1937, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. August 5th, 1937.
And there was a decision that was issued in December of 1936. This is Bodine. That didn't it basically instruct people, perhaps erroneously, but instruct people that if you are conveying an interest in minerals, and you have an outstanding lease, and in order not to breach your warranty, that you need to use the smaller fraction divided by the 1/8 in the granting clause and the larger fraction in the subject to clause. Wasn't that what the law was at the time this deed was executed?
No, I don't think that's what it instructed. I think it was looking at a three-clause deed, the granting clause, subject to clause and a future lease clause.
But didn't Tibbs versus Bodine expressly say that in order not to breach your warranty, you need to use a smaller fraction in the granting clause? Isn't that what it ultimately said?
That's not the way that I read it. I think what it says as far as the warranty is concerned is that you need to make sure your subject to clause is there.
Tibbs, let me get that.
Look at page 1079.
I'm there.
The granting clause contained a 1/16.
Granting clause, 1/16 minerals, right.
And the subject to clause had a 1/2 fraction.
1/2 royalty.
And the court said no language has been suggested, and we know of none, that would more clearly and accurately express the intention of the parties or that would have the legal effect intended by them than that used in the deed itself thus far. So didn't the court, at least as of the time this deed was executed, bless using the smaller fraction, the granting clause, and the larger fraction in the subject to clause?
Well, I think what the court did was it looked at the future lease clause, which said 1/2 of the minerals, and said that there, the 1/16 conflicts with the 1/2, and the 1/2 is the one that's set forth with reference.
And they held that the larger fraction controlled.
As far as the future lease clause is concerned.
As far as the whole conveyance was concerned.
Well, I guess the whole, if you're going to, looking at the whole conveyance, it had a future lease clause.
Even though the granting clause said 1/16, the court held that 1/2 of the mineral interest was conveyed.
That's right, and that's just exactly what happened in Luckel. Luckel had a smaller royalty clause than it did in the future lease clause, and this court gave him the future lease clause, as far as that's concerned, because it had a future lease clause.
But based on the law that was on the books 1 year,
that's why this deed is not written with a future lease clause. This deed covers just what was conveyed, the mineral interest, the 196, keeping the 796 in Mr. Crawford, gave him all the royalty, full royalty, 1/12, the entire royalty, under the lease. And
what did the granting clause presently convey?
What did the granting clause presently convey in our deed? It conveyed a 196 mineral interest and a 1/12 of the royalty.
Was it immediately effective to convey a 196 upon execution?
Yes, of the possibility of reverter.
In addition to 1/12?
Yes. That's what it is.
And that would add up to more than the grantor owned, would it?
No, it didn't add up to more than the grantor had. The grantor conveyed 1/96 of the reverter. That carries no royalty with it because the possibility of reverter carries no royalty with it as such because there's no oil and gas lease in effect. If there had been no oil and gas lease in effect on this and conveyed with reference to the conveyance, it might have conveyed more, but with an oil and gas lease in effect, the 196 mineral interest with the 1/12 royalty, which was all the royalty that the grantor had, did not convey more than it has because it kept this bundle of sticks was 196 in possibility of reverter, 796 in this bundle of sticks that it kept, and it conveyed all of the royalty down here. It didn't convey any more royalty with that possibility of reverter because it conveyed all of the royalty that it had.
Okay.
With reference to the deed we have and any future leasing, the mineral interest, the 196 that Southland has, they can lease, get any royalty that they can. They can go out there and drill a well. And likewise, Crosby can do the same. We claim under Crosby, and the Concord claims under Southland as far as this proceeding is concerned. The analysis of the conveyancing is set forth in our next handout. The day before
brother, he did the, he obtained a good four, he gave it, he received from the guardian, 1/12 mineral interest. That is, of course, the possibility of a reverter. And he received 1/12 of the water. Then the Crosby, the Southman deed, conveyed a 1/96 mineral interest, as I've just mentioned, and the possibility of a reverter, and 1/12 of the royalties, all the royalties. Southman received 1/96 mineral interest and 1/12 of the royalties. And Crosby still owned 7/96 mineral interest as a possibility of a reverter. And after those, after the lease expired, then Southland reverted to a 1/96 mineral interest. Crosby owned 7/96 mineral interest. And Southland can now lease the 1/96. Crosby can now lease 7/96 and be entitled to those percentages of the royalty under the deeds they execute. There is no conflict between a 1/96 mineral interest conveyed in this deed and a 1/12 royalty under existing lease conveyed in this. There is no conflict there. When there is no conflict, there is no reason to apply the harmonizing rule of Luckman. You apply instead the rule in Pan American versus TP, the Four Corners rule, to look and see what they conveyed.
The conveyance is subject to the terms of any valid subsisting oil and gas or mineral lease, or mineral lease or leases. Why doesn't that apply to future leases?
The reason it doesn't apply to future leases is that that provision covers valid subsisting leases is what.
Well, grammatically it doesn't, because it says subsisting mineral lease or mineral lease or leases.
And the R takes the places of commas. In other words, if this drafter had put,
well, did he just
subject to any valid subsisting one, oil, gas, and or mineral lease, or two, mineral lease.
Well, how is two different from one? Did he just stutter or what?
No. But oil, gas, and mineral lease covers oil, gas, and minerals that might be like oil and gas. A mineral lease might be sulfur, might be uranium, might be lignite. That would be a mineral lease.
So a mineral lease is different from an oil, gas, or mineral lease.
Yes.
He said and or mineral lease, though.
Big
he part. Said oil, gas, and or mineral lease, which could be either an oil and gas lease or a mineral lease.
The way I would read that is oil, gas, and mineral, or oil, gas, or mineral lease. He was trying to cover everything, the broadest here, the next.
Well, the broadest could be either an oil and gas lease or a mineral lease.
Yeah.
When you use mineral lease again, or leases.
I think you have to continue these two words when you have and or. It's and, oil, gas, and mineral lease. Oil, gas, or mineral lease.
You could have a sulfur lease under an oil and gas or mineral lease, couldn't you? That didn't include the oil and gas.
You could have that. You could have a sulfur
lease. So you've got mineral lease.
And that would be this kind of mineral lease.
Well, you've got mineral lease already there. You just said that the oil, gas, or mineral lease could be a sulfur lease.
This court's had a lot of litigation on this oil, gas, and other, in fact, other minerals. That's been large body of law that's been developed.
And it includes sulfur.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Depending on the time.
On what the language is. Usually there's a separate royalty provision on sulfur. But I think to read this, you'd have to say oil, gas, and mineral, or oil, gas, or mineral. That's the broadest. Then next, or, comma, two, mineral lease, or, comma, three, leases. That covers all of the areas that you have over there. And that's a much easier and much less strained reading than to try to make mineral lease or leases to be a future lease clause. One of our handouts are the future lease clauses. I don't think we have a bullet on that. This is the full one that you have. These are the cases that are cited in the opinion in this matter. These are the future lease clauses that are there. And it's clear what a future lease clause is. It talks about a lease being terminated, talks about a lease being canceled,
talks about a lease expiring, and then it talks about future leases, future oil and gas leases, future events, future events.
This talks about, it says this conveyance, and we're talking about what's being affirmatively conveyed. It says the estate does not depend upon the validity, nor shall it be affected by the termination of leases. Doesn't it say that?
Yes, it says that. And the estate that's referred to there refers to, as you'll notice, it says the estate.
To this conveyance.
Yes.
We're talking about.
It says the estate hereby conveyed there. The first estate appears in the granting clause. The granting clause says the estate herein conveyed, referring to the 196
Middle. Doesn't it indicate to you that we're talking about a conveyance? And it says, this conveyance does not depend upon the termination or will be affected by the termination of any valid or subsisting leases. Isn't that a fair reading?
That's right. The 116 is not affected by that. The 116, if that lease terminates.
But it goes on to say that this conveyance includes, meaning the conveyance, includes 112.
Well, I think that what this is, while the estate hereby conveyed, and the estate hereby conveyed refers back.
But you just said that the estate being conveyed didn't include any royalty. I thought you just said, told us the first paragraph was only a 196 and didn't include any royalty.
It is the possibility of reversion.
Well, how could the conveyance, it says this conveyance is subject to and is not affected by termination of leases. It's got to contain some royalty.
Well, this conveyance refers to the conveyance of the 196 possibility of reverter. The drafters, when they call that an interest in mineral, but when it's under lease, it's really the possibility of reverter. So the estate herein conveyed is the 196 possibility of reverter. And the estate hereby conveyed refers back to that first estate, which is the estate of the 116.
So you're saying this talks about two estates?
Yes, there's only one estate that language refers to. There's two estates in this deed. There's the 196 possibility reverter, the two grant theory, and the second one is the we've got all kinds of lights on.
Well, you're saying that there were two estates conveyed. Well, the deed says this estate, the estate hereby conveyed, does not depend upon the termination of leases.
And it's referring to the first estate, the possibility of reverse.
The second estate.
Not the second estate, no, because it's
Isn't that a strained construction of this deed?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that a pretty strained construction?
No, I think that's a very logical one that has been in all these in these deeds that have a subject to clause, that's very common.
Can you cite one Texas Supreme Court case that has held that the smaller fraction controls over the larger fraction?
That's not the law in Texas, because of the smaller fraction controls. The real.
But you can't tell us one case where we've said, yes, there are two estates, and the smaller fraction is what was conveyed out of this court.
Well, Panama.
That's not out of this court.
That is a case that involves that. All the cases that have a larger fraction of control are actually future lease cases. They're not this type of case, is what it amounts to. If that's what's going to be the court rule, then they ought to state that if it's a bigger fraction, that's it. If you don't have this to be a two grant lease, how do they get the larger fraction? It can only be conveyed in the subject to clause. If there's going to be a one estate rule, how do you get a larger fraction when there are two of them? If you don't have a two grant theory, you've got to have two grants for Congress to win as far as the subject to clause to get the larger fraction.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
May it please the court. On October 18, 1996, this court issued an opinion in this case,
which has recently been labeled as scholarly and well-written by the author of the most widely cited oil and gas law treatise. That opinion is completely consistent with virtually every scholarly article written on this issue over the past 45 years, and there have been many of them.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If there is not a grant of a future lease clause in this deed, is there any way that, is there any other jurisprudence out there that says that a mineral oil and gas, a mineral owner couldn't give two separate grants in the same deed?
Your Honor, there is no case. A mineral owner certainly can give two grants in one deed if the language actually says that.
Well, now, let me start over. Is there any case that without a future lease clause in the deed, is there any law in Texas that says that a mineral owner can't grant two different estates in the same deed?
Your Honor, Luckel and Garrett contained future lease clauses, but they did not make the future lease clause determinative. So I think if your question is, do other cases have differently worded future lease clauses, the answer to your question is yes. If you are suggesting that a future lease clause is outcome determinative, the answer to your question is
yes. Well, let me ask you this. By definition, is there a conflict if I give a possibility of converter of one level of interest and a royalty interest of another level of interest? Is there automatically a conflict?
Yes, Your Honor, if we're going to deal with this fee, there is an apparent inconsistency.
No, not apparent. Is there actually a conflict simply because the grant of the mineral interest is one level and the grant of the royalty interest is at a different level? Is that automatically a conflict?
That means you're assuming that a deed like this grants two states. Is that correct?
Their point is that you can't make that assumption. My point is automatically, if there are different fractions used, is that automatically a conflict?
It depends on the language in the deed, Your Honor.
Okay. So it is not automatically a conflict.
It depends on the language of the deed. If the language of the deed clearly makes two estates, then you might have one deed that does, in fact, grant two estates.
Okay. One of the issues that was raised is because a larger estate is ultimately granted in this,
yes,
than the person owned,
yes,
there's a conflict in the deed.
Yes.
Why is there a larger estate granted in this deed than Crosby owned?
There's not a larger estate granted than Crosby owned in this deed. There's one estate granted by this deed. And we know that from the language of this deed. This deed shows the intent to grant a single estate. It's because of the language of this particular deed that we see the conflict. It does not show the intent to grant two separate estates, one of mineral and one of a separate royalty. It shows the intent to grant one single mineral estate. And as this court's opinion said, once we look at the language of the deed and see that there wasn't an intent to grant two estates, the next question is, what is the size? Where the conflict comes in, or the face of this deed, is that second explanatory clause that says the single estate is intended to cover and include 1/12 of rent and royalty. A 196 mineral owner does not cover and include 1/12 of rent and royalty. A 1/12 mineral interest includes 1/12 of rent and royalty. So what the court did in this case is exactly what the court did in Luckel and in Garrett. It looked at, and I'm quoting from the opinion, this apparent inconsistency. Look at all of the language and see if from the four corners of the document you can ascertain the party's intent, the well-known common law rule. And this court did the same thing that this court did in Luckel, in Garrett, and in Tipps. And the court said we can harmonize the fraction in the granting clause because the fraction 196 represents the amount of production that the owner of a 1/12 mineral interest would be entitled to under the lease provided for the usual 1/8 royalty. What's key here, Your Honor, is the petitioners, respondents, respondent for the purpose of this oral argument, they are asking you to, first of all, misread case law. They want you to view Luckel and Garrett as turning on a particularly worded future lease clause, being outcome determinative on a future lease clause, rather than reading those cases as being four corners cases, as this court's opinion ultimately did. The way their argument basically goes is, because those deeds happen to have a particularly worded future lease clause, that's what was determinative. You might as well argue those deeds were in cursive and ours were not. That fact does not make it outcome determinative. And all you have to do is look at the plain language of those opinions to realize this. And this court's opinion carefully goes through all of those opinions. Luckel says on page 463 that the labels that we have given clauses, warranty, habendum, or future lease clause, is not determinative. Luckel expressly adopted the four corners rule for this problem, that is, multi-clause deeds with two fractions, which are multiples of 1/8. So you did the same thing in Luckel that you did in this case.
Okay, can you point me to the language, not dealing with, I guess, the royalty? What word is in the clause dealing with the larger estate that you say conveys more interest than he owns?
Okay, and Your Honor, I hear that we are talking past one another. When you say he conveyed more interest than he owns, so I want to be sure we have our facts straight. We know that the grantor owned 1/12 of the mineral interest. The issue is, did he convey the entire 1/12 mineral interest? They say that this deed, because it has two fractions, conveys two different estates. The four corners rule says, well, where's the language that says there's two estates? It's not that this grantor conveyed more than he owned. It's that he conveyed everything that he owned. And the language I would point you to is the two references to a single estate, which is intended to entitle the grantee to a fractional interest that would guarantee him to the right of 1/12 of rents and royalties under any mineral lease or mineral lease or leases. So it's the plain language of this deed. And the approach that this court's opinion engaged in is simply, it's the four corners rule. It actually looks at the language of this deed and gives effect to all of the language in that deed.
So estate, because there's not an S on the end of it, that means he intended to convey only one estate in these fractions, just they calculate outright.
Your Honor, I would suggest that it would take more than having an S on the word estate, but of course that's not what we have before us. But if I wanted to do what they have suggested has been done, I could do that. I could do the strange conveyance where in one deed I grant a mineral interest and a separate additional royalty in what I have kept. This deed doesn't say that. It doesn't say, I hereby grant you one interest, and then separate or additionally, as the court's opinion points out, I also grant you an additional 7/96 of royalty. If they really intended to give more, it would say that. That is simply not the case. This deed shows the intent to convey a single estate that would guarantee the grantee the right of 1/12 of rents and royalty. So one of the mistakes that the petitioners are making is they are asking the court to ignore at least six or seven words in this deed, and then they're asking you to read some language into the deed. So that's one mistake they're making. But they are also making a mistake about prior case law. They suggest to you that you are departing from case law, and that is simply not the case. You have been completely consistent with cases dating back to at least 1936, as Justice Owen pointed out. In Garrett, we have the same problem, and in Luckel, we have the same problem. That is, multi-clause deed forms with differing fractions that are multiples of 1/8. And those cases did not hold that three different or separate estates were granted. The plain reading of the case shows that is not true. Luckel said we can harmonize the fraction 1/32 in the granting clause because that represents the amount of production the owner of a 1/4 royalty interest would get. In Garrett, you had this same pattern, 1/64 in the granting clause and 1/8 in the subsequent explanatory clauses. The court did not say that the 1/64 mineral interest was granted and then 1/8 was granted in existing and future leases. That's not what the case held. The case said we've got to look at all of the language within the four corners of the deed to figure out what the parties understood 1/64 to mean. And the court said from the language in the deed, we can tell that they intended an interest that would entitle the grantee to 1/8 of rents and royalties, and that's a single 1/8 mineral interest. This court's opinion does the exact same thing in this case. So it is completely consistent with all case law. In fact, we even need to go back further to 1923, the year the Texas Supreme Court adopted the notion that an oil and gas lease in this state creates a fee simple determinable in the lessee, leaving a possibility of reverter in the mineral owner. The petitioners here today have incorrectly stated the principle of law about the nature of a possibility of reverter. By insisting on a future lease clause, they are insisting upon the wrong principle of law. They're insisting upon a principle of law that was overruled when Carruthers was overruled in 1943.
Okay, going on here, that states one word. What other words in this document indicate that only the 196 and the 112 are related numbers? They were supposed to represent the same thing.
That the rents and royalties are attributes of the mineral estate. And it is clear, this deed has language and opinion goes through this, some of it is edited out, but this is clearly a mineral deed, not a royalty deed. It shows the right of ingress and egress, it shows the right to be able to enter the property that only
and
the owner
that, gets. That's the part dealing with the 112th royalty. It's the language in the 112th royalty paragraph that you're saying is indicative that this was supposed to be the same thing as the 196.
Your Honor, I'm saying that it is a mineral deed because of all that language that we know it's mineral interest. And then the language in the second explanatory paragraph justifies it, whatever would entitle the grantee to 1/12 of rents and royalties, which is a 1/12 mineral interest. Then you explain or harmonize the fraction 196 just like you did in Rockland Garrett.
No, you're ahead of me.
Okay.
You're ahead of me. Anything in the deed dealing with conveying a 196 whole interest, anything in the deed that talks about what I'm trying to convey is all consistent with that. I'm just asking for the language in the contract, in this deed, pertaining to the 112 that demonstrates that that 112 is supposed to be the same thing as the 196. And you're saying it's the all rentals that's in that paragraph and the word estate that's in that paragraph.
Estate shows one estate was intended. Covers include shows that single estate was to cover include 1/12 of rents and royalties. The interest that includes 1/12 of rents and royalties, that's got to be a 1/12 mineral interest. So then we know that it's broad language because it says 1/12 under any mineral lease or leases. There's no language of limitation in here.
So it's also important to your argument that this lease has to be something other than just the lease in existence. It's any lease. And so that helps interpret your contract.
The answer is it helps, Your Honor. It helps that this language is as broad as it is and that there is no language suggesting a limitation or a reversion. Certainly that helps. But it is not absolutely determinative. What this court did in this opinion was focus on the deed before it and decide this deed. So if we actually had a more restrictive deed, you have a different case, and your opinion properly declined to address a case like that. But it's worth our time to look at the Pan American case, since the petitioners really hang their hat on that as well as the Court of Appeals. I need to point out that the handout that the petitioners gave you on the Pan American case conveniently omits all of the key language in that deed. I've given you a handout of that deed as well. That deed is nothing like the deed before you. If we were to ever suggest that maybe a deed with multiples of fractions of 1/8 did convey two interests, maybe that deed, but I invite you to look at it. That deed has, unlike any other of these deeds that have been litigated over the past 70 years, it actually does refer to two interests. As I've highlighted on the handout for you, it refers to mineral rights and estate, and it says that three times in the deed. In addition to that, it is very strict and limited to three existing leases, and it just doesn't refer to existing leases. It names three leases by name. It refers to the Arthur Moore lease, and then that's not enough. It goes ahead and gives the deed page numbers, and is that specific with three leases. And then consistently throughout the deed, it refers to said leases. And then, to make it very clear that that was a very limited interest, three times that deed also says that the grantee's interest will cease, terminate, and revert at the end of those three said leases, three times. There is absolutely no language like this in this deed. To the extent you have any doubt about how broad this deed is, every accepted rule of deed interpretation tells us that we're to construe a deed against the grantor and in favor of the grantee to convey the greatest estate possible.
Should it be at all important to the court that Mr. Crosby is very shortly after executing this deed, apparently thought he still had some interest left.
The answer to your question is no, it is not at all important, because under the Four Corners rule, we do not look to see what entors do 30 years after the fact to glean their intent. It is particularly unimportant in oil and gas law, because unlike a normal real estate transaction, when I want to sell my house, I solicit buyers. That's not what happens in the oil and gas industry. It's leasing agents and oil companies that check the chain of title, and they are willing to take quitclaim deeds from individuals because they know when they lease the land, they can wait and determine whether or not that owner really owns any minerals or not, and their proportionate reduction clause in the lease will protect them from having to pay. What happened here was 30 years after the fact, a leasing agent got a quitclaim deed, which is significant, from this grantor. It means absolutely nothing. If I convey my house to you in 1990, and then I turn around and convey it to someone else in 1997, what I did in 1997 has not changed the fact that I conveyed my house to you in 1990. So, Your Honors, in effect, what the petitioners are asking you to do is you've got to make three mistakes in order for their client to win, or errors. And that you can't just make one. In order for their client to win, you must make all three. First, as I've explained, you've got to read all the case law as insisting upon a particularly worded future lease clause. And then if you do that, that leads to the second error they need you to commit, which that is to apply the wrong principle of oil and gas law. They are articulating an incorrect view of the possibility of a reverter by insisting on a future lease clause. A future lease clause is never necessary. That's why all the modern deed forms view it as redundant and unnecessary. Even if my land is leased, I do not need a future lease clause, because the possibility of reverter is a presently vested interest, and it carries with it as a matter of law all the attributes of the mineral estate, and royalty is one of those attributes, to use this court's words from Altman v. Blake, just to name one case. So even if my land is leased, all I need is a simple deed that says, I hereby convey to you an undivided one-half mineral interest. Even if I say nothing else about existing or future leases, that simple conveyance gives you the right to one-half of rents and royalties under any lease, existing or in the future. So if a clause is unnecessary, why would we make it outcome determinative?
I don't understand that to be their argument. And questions is, on the motion for rehearing, it seemed to me there was a disconnect in these arguments. What gives the court the power to start interpreting a document like this is, and to try and resolve the conflict, is only if, in the first instance, there's a conflict within the four corners.
Yes.
Your argument is there's a conflict within the four corners.
Yes.
Their response simply is the only way you had a conflict was the possibility at the end that there might be a conveyance of more than this person owned. Now, I understand your response saying, no, that's not where you're raising the conflict. But the future lease clause, the whole argument about the future lease clause is not that a future lease clause is necessary to create a conflict. It was that there isn't a conflict in this deed unless the deed attempts to, by what is happening, is ultimately conveying more than what the deed holder owned, and then requires the court to come in and try and resolve that conflict. And either it can be resolved within the four corners, or it's an ambiguous document, and the jury has to resolve it at some point, and this court is attempting to resolve the conflict. The argument is, without a future lease clause, and discarding any sort of assumptions that people would only convey one estate, you've lost the legs upon which you've argued that there is a conflict here. And the court, therefore, had no business trying to resolve a conflict that doesn't, in fact, exist. And so I didn't understand the argument to be that the future lease clause is critical to here, It's that without some sort of indicia within the deed itself that requires a resolution of these two fractions, the court has no business trying to resolve that. And so,
I stand out of town, but may I answer?
Yes.
I respectfully disagree. The conflict on the face of this deed is that if there is no language showing that two estates that were intended to be conveyed, one of a mineral royalty and one of a separate additional royalty. So there's an apparent conflict on the face of the deed where a deed purports to convey a single estate, but then it's supposed to cover and include 1/12 of rents and royalty. Then you need to harmonize that with the deed. That does not render it ambiguous. Then, as you say, we turn to the four corners of the deed and we see if we can harmonize it. You can, just as you did in Garrett and just as you did in Luckel. We can harmonize that fraction to show the intent to convey a single 1/12 interest. And the second part of my answer to your question, Your Honor, is they are assuming that this grant does have the language of two grants. What this court's opinion does is read all of the cases on this issue and point out those deeds do not have language of two grants. Simply having two differing fractions does not mean a deed makes two separate grants. Where's the language of two grants? And so that is our argument, is that you apply the Four Corners Rule. What you have accomplished with this case is you have accurately applied the right principles of oil and gas law. You have kept us in the mainstream of other jurisdictions because no other jurisdiction...
Is this still a response to...
I have a question. In Justice Enoch's question, he seemed to be saying that there's a conflict because somehow the grantor conveyed more than he owned. I don't understand that to be pencil of argument. Is that accurate?
That is the effect of the Court of Appeals holding and of their argument. If you view this deed as making two grants, as Mr. Douglas said it did, one of the 196 mineral interest and another of the 1/12 royalty interest, then yes, that grantor conveyed more than he owned because he only owned the 1/12 mineral interest, which only entitles him to 1/12 of, let's assume, the 1/8 royalty.
But that's not what you're relying on to say that there's a conflict.
Not at all. Not at all. We are relying, as we are supposed to, on the four corners of the deed. It is their argument that results in this grantor having conveyed the rights to production, more rights to the production than he owned, which is particularly ironic in this state when we are also the birthplace of the Duhigg Rule, which punishes grantors for conveying more than they own. So my point on this is, why would we adopt a rule which allows grantors to convey more than they own when the language of the deed does not support that interpretation?
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Please, the court. The actions of this, there are cases that say the actions of the parties that are consistent with an unambiguous deed are admissible. And in this case, Mr. Crosby gave a deed in 43 on his interest. He gave an oil and gas lease in 1943 on his 796. He gave an oil and gas lease in 1947 on his mineral interest. He gave one in 19, ratified an oil and gas lease in 51, and ratified one in 52 and 1956. So his actions have been entirely consistent with owning the 796. In addition, approximately 1 year later, Southland received a deed on the same tract of land involving the same total mineral estate, the 8/8 mineral estate, for 1/16 mineral interest and a 1/16 royalty on existing leases. The exact same language. The deeds are identical.
Well, let me ask you about the grantee clause. She made a point that I want to follow up on. Yeah. Let's suppose all you had was the first clause, that I, Mr. Crosby, convey a 196 interest in all oil and gas minerals to be produced. Isn't she correct that even if you had an existing lease, the grantee would immediately take a 196 interest?
I think our conveyance people now understand that, but they didn't in 1937 because they felt that they had to put in...
But let's talk about what the law would say the deed conveyed.
Well,
if that's
law,
all you had was a granting clause, that in all, let's assume that all Crosby owned was 196 and there was an existing lease,
the grantee would start getting the royalties under the lease immediately. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So the effect of this deed, and the way you construe it, is that he would convey more than he owned. He immediately conveyed 196 under all existing leases, plus 112 under all existing leases, which is more than he owned.
No, if you construe the deed the way you say it is, he really conveyed in the subject to clause 112 of the royalties.
Plus 196 of the royalties.
No. 112 of the royalty is 112 of 1/8. That's 196.
You said he conveyed two estates.
Well, no, we're going on your assumption.
No, you said he conveyed two estates, a 196 mineral interest. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And a 112 royalty under existing leases.
But I thought the half of it you gave me didn't have. We don't have this second clause. Can we also give
well,
you
all right, let's back up.
All right.
If you just gave 196, you would get immediately 196 under existing leases be granted to you.
That's correct.
That's a presently effective conveyance.
That's correct.
And you're saying that's one thing that caused you conveyance.
If there was no subject to clause, and all was in there was that first clause, that's correct. They would get 196 of the royalties.
And your theory in this case is two estates were granted. A 196 mineral interest.
The possibility of a murder was 196.
Which also gives you the right to run some royalties under existing leases.
That's what we're saying, but I think it's clear in this deed that if you follow through with that, this deed is consistent with that. When you say 1/12 of the rentals and royalties, 1/12 of the royalty is 1/12 of the eight under the that was existing there for the oil and gas. That's a 196. We didn't have to argue that.
Well, if all you had were the first clause, you would get 196 of 1/8, which is 1 over 8 times 96.
Well,
in addition to the 112.
If you gave him a 196 mineral interest, he'd get 196 of the law.
Times, so it would be 196 times 1/8, which is different than 1/12 of 1/8.
Yes, that's correct. Let me go back, though. At the time that this deed was written, we had not put on the books the law yet that said that you didn't need the subject to clause to protect your warrant.
So the law we had on the book said you put the smaller fraction in the grantee clause and the larger fraction in the subject to clause to not breach warranty. Isn't that what Tips Vote versus Voting told people to do?
Well, Tips versus Voting, the jury found there was mutual mistake there. They actually had a jury finding that there was mutual mistake there.
That's not what the court based its opinion on, is it?
Yes.
The court held as a matter of law that the language could not be clearer, didn't it?
Well, that's not the way I read it. I think it says clear that there was a mutual mistake there, and this is what is intended.
Any other questions?
I see my lights on, so I'll have to.
Carruthers case involved the way
that will go. Anything else?
Thank you.
Carruthers involved the way that will go. The court will take a brief recess, and we'll come back together.